I'd like to take some time now to exercise with this law of interdependence so that you can see the method for doing that, and that will enable you to utilize the law, or I really should say to allow the law to utilize you, so that you won't be separate in your functions and desires from that law. I have found through long experience now that the more time and devotion that I give to exercising with the laws, to focusing on particular place values within the model of being, and allowing that place value to speak to me, to elucidate itself to me, to allow that revelatory process to occur within me, the closer I appear to be to that process, the more it appears that that function is occurring naturally and normally in my experience. So it's a very, very, very practical thing that I'm suggesting that you do. And again, I hear myself being super salesman and giving a pitch, but I really, truly have found that the more I love and embrace and focus on the laws that are contained within these junctures and place values within the model of being, the clearer those avenues, those doors, those gates get within me. And the clearer they get, the more responsive I can be to the actual function that is occurring within being, therefore the actual function that truly is occurring within me. So for that purpose and for that reason, I would like to veer from the law a little bit, not off the center of the law, but to elucidate it more and more, to get into the detail of it by examining it through its qualities and not just through the synonymous terms that denote the nature of its being as it functions. So therefore, as we were sounding before, the fact that this wonderful divine impulsion exists within the subjective being itself, and that that impulsion is forever bringing forth from the depth and the well of that being that which it is. And we have said it therefore is bringing forth the sevenfold nature of its mind, the sevenfold nature of its spirit, of its soul, of its principle, life, truth, and love. Now I'd like to zero in and focus in even closer to say, all right, if that divine being is bringing forth from within itself the mind of its own being, what is it that it is bringing forth? If it is bringing forth the mind of its mind, if examined through qualities, what does that mean? Well, it means that it is bringing forth, let's say, the power of its intelligence. Not just that it's bringing to light its intelligence, which it is, of course, but that it's bringing to light the full power of that intelligence, the fact that that intelligence is capable within itself of producing idea. If that intelligence didn't have power within itself, it couldn't conceive and produce that idea that it has intrinsically within its own source. So that great intelligence, right, has a source within itself, and it's a power. That source has power. It is a power source, but more than that, it's really that that source has within it the power to bring forth the idea that that intelligence conceives. Can you see how just blending right there, just seeing in greater detail the fact, not just that the divine being is bringing forth its intelligence, but examining what that's comprised of and what is really happening there, the fact that that divine being is really bringing forth from within itself the power of that intelligence that enables it to conceive and to produce the idea that it conceives. That it is bringing forth, for example, the spirit of that intelligence. It's bringing forth the substance of that intelligence. So therefore, the ideas that it is conceiving are very substantial, very real. They are understood by that mind. It isn't conceiving or bringing out anything that it doesn't truly understand. It is bringing to light that which it does know and understand within itself, and it is able to order it. It is able to keep it clear. It's able to see it in specific order. It doesn't confuse its images. It has them right at the tip of its mind, so to speak, and it knows exactly one from the other because that mind is soul also. It can identify that which it has conceived. It conceives things so specifically, and it conceives the nature of its ideas so clearly that it can truly identify the ideas that it has conceived within itself. And that mind, which is bringing forth through its intelligence those ideas, is bringing forth the principle of itself, which really indicates that it's bringing forth the structure of those ideas. In other words, it not only can identify those ideas that it's bringing forth, the images that it's bringing forth, and the qualities of those images, but it sees their relationship with one another, and it governs their relationship with one another. It knows the relationship of the very ideas that it has conceived and that it's bringing forth. And that great subjective being, which is bringing forth the intelligence of its mind, is bringing forth the life of that intelligence. So therefore, it's giving uniqueness and individuality to every idea that it's bringing forth. It is bringing it forth into expression so that you not only have the principle of that mind, the principle of that intelligence at work, but you also have the life of that intelligence at work, which will never let that idea cease to be. It will never let that idea die or disappear. When mind conceives an idea and brings it forth, that idea is here to stay. It's an eternal idea. And that wonderful being that is bringing forth the intelligence of its mind is bringing forth the truth of that intelligence. It is bringing forth the consciousness of that intelligence. So that idea that is being brought forth from within that intelligence is a fully conceived, recognized idea, and it is able to function, to calculate. It's not just an eternal idea, but it is a functioning, capable idea. And that idea, because it is love, because, I should go back to the form that we were using, because that divine subjective being is issuing forth and bringing forth the love of its mind, it is bringing forth the very perfection of that idea. It is bringing forth the very purpose that lay within the intelligence that enabled it to conceive that idea in the first place. It's the purpose of that mind, and it's in that mind itself. So let's just go over that very, very swiftly so that you can get just the whole tone that's happening there. You have a wonderful, deep impression within the subjective being to bring the nature of its own being forth. And in the law of interdependence, you see that it is bringing forth the mind of its being. Therefore, it is bringing forth the intelligence of its own being. And as it brings forth that intelligence, then it is bringing it forth. It is bringing forth, I should say, the power of that intelligence, the very substantiation and order of that intelligence. the identification capability of that intelligence, the very nature of that intelligence. It's bringing forth the structure and the systematic ability of that intelligence to relate every image and idea that it's conceived within itself to every other facet of that idea that it's conceived within itself. And it keeps it lined up and related properly. It doesn't let it out of its own categories, because that mind is categorical. It has the capability of keeping its conceptions clearly straight and in categories. And that mind is able to eternalize its own intelligence. And it's forever bringing forth the consciousness, the standard of that intelligence, which never lets it drop. And it brings forth, therefore, the purpose of that intelligence, which is the fulfillment of that intelligence, which is to bring forth and to conceive its images and its ideas. Isn't that incredible? You just get this wonderful surge within being that is bringing its entire being to light. You know, when we say, let there be light, we're really talking about the elucidation that happens within mind, that it does know all that it knows, and it has the capability of conceiving within itself its images and its idea and bring them to fulfillment, that it does it within a pre-conscribed plan, that it does it within the whole. Because truly, remember, seeing this law going on in context with the whole, that you've always got a holographic operation going on. So what is the pre-established plan if not the holograph, you know, in a sense here of this mind? But it's really that that divine being is always bringing forth the whole integrated holographic being, the whole matrixized plan of its own being. Okay, jumping around, didn't mean to do that. Let's just for a while maybe echo through one or two more so that we can get the feeling of just the law itself as it brings forth qualities, so that you can get a feeling for how to exercise with this. I used, for example, their intelligence as the major quality, and I used a minor quality or another quality of each of the seven to describe the function of that intelligence, right? You could use, for example, information as the major quality and another quality of the seven to describe the function of that information. Or you could use power as the major quality and use, you know, another tone to describe that. So I want you to feel free later on today when we're exercising, or when you're in the quiet of your own home and your own sanctuary, to experiment with the qualities of being. If you're coming from the absolute level, you are confined to the numeral qualities, or to what is considered the timeless, spaceless qualities. So certainly with mind, you're confined to a quality such as intelligence or power or information or law. But when you get down to how it's elucidating itself on the Christian Science level, and certainly could do that within the law of interdependence, you can also bring out its creative ability and the fact that that mind is guiding and so on and so forth. You can use terms that touch into the human experience more fully. But let's go back and just sound the law for a while using spirit. It's like, and God said, let there be spirit. You know, I'm going to bring forth the spirit of my own being. And if we were to choose reality as a term that we'd like to focus on in spirit, then we can see that that wonderful impulsion with it in the divine subjective being is bringing forth its reality. It's bringing forth all reality. It is bringing forth the very power of that reality. that reality itself has power. It has the power to permeate all of being. It has the power to substantiate all that being has brought out as idea. That divine being can identify its reality. It can make it very clear for you and me that there isn't a material reality, that there's only a spiritual reality. Because being itself has the capability within itself to reveal to itself, and therefore to me, the identity of its reality. Therefore, there's no question about the fact that it can identify what is real and what is unreal for me. That divine subjective being has the capability and is bringing out and bringing to light the real structure of its reality and the system and the science of that reality. You have to listen for those, because we're not used to thinking of reality in those terms, and therefore it sounds strange at first. But if you just let it sink within, if you just let reality itself do the leavening process within, then somehow the spiritual reality and the structure of that reality will feel very real within. And they will express themselves as your reality, as my reality, because that divine being cannot help but bring forth the life of its reality. The very surge and renewing capability of that reality. And that being is bringing forth the truth of its reality. And there really is no error in spirit's reality. And it therefore has dominion over the belief that I could be conscious of another reality, of a material reality, that I could feel as if I lived in a material world, a material realm. But the leaven of spirit is upon us, and it will permeate our being, if we allow it. And it will do it, even if we don't allow it, because it is a law that is going on in being. It is forever bringing forth the consciousness of its reality. And it is forever bringing forth the perfection, the purpose, absolute love of its reality, the rest of its reality, the peace of its reality. And which of us would not give up almost anything for the true inner peace that comes with spiritual reality, where we know and we feel within that which is real, and we are so unified with spirit that we cease to feel ourselves as a material expression. Isn't that incredible? When you go through, just reason through and flow through. And every time you do it, it's new. All of you who've heard me flow a lot know I've never done it that way before, and I'll never do it that way again. It's always new, the way it unfolds itself to you. I'm pausing here because I'm listening really for time and to know if I should exercise more with that or whether we should go on and exercise through the symbols used in the chapter of prayer. I rather am feeling that our timing is such that maybe now would be a good time to make that transition. As I said earlier, the chapter of prayer is truly an elucidation of the law of interdependence in the Word between Absolute and Christian Science. It was the way in which the divine subjective being was declaring itself to Mrs. Eddy and therefore to the world. It was the way in which she heard the revelation at that time. But as each of us are an integral part of that subjective being, and as that being never ceases to speak, it is speaking to each of us, always, at any so-called time. You can write your own text, truly, if you hear the 7x7 matrix of the law of interdependence of the Word. If you echo it and feel it and practice it until it's no longer just a perceptual experience, until you've gone beyond feeling, but you've let it leavened within you to such a degree that you are identified and unified with that law. When you become a working expression of the law of interdependence in the Word, you will write your own text. And it may sound like prayer, and it may sound like a different text, but the tones will be identical. Nothing will be missing. The mesh will be absolutely perfect. Even though the expression of it may be unique and may be different, it may be unique to your being and unique to the purpose and the so-called time frame, but it can come through you. I want you to know that, because even though it's wonderful that she was so clear and so capable of being a revelator, it is also true that each of us can be clear and can be capable of being revelators. Now, you can't zoom on ahead before you're ready and say, I'm a revelator and I'm going to tell you everything I think and feel, which is what a lot of people do. You have to, well, it's true. You have to really be one with this law of divine revelation. You have to allow this law to operate as you to such a degree that it is always revealing within you that which it is in a very structured, organized, ordered way, so that you would never reveal anything out of order. You can't. If you're one with the law and it is ordered and it is structured, it's going to reveal through you, so to speak, in that manner. So in that way and at that point in time, so to speak, we can all be at that place. And to that purpose, I am deeply grateful for the work that Mrs. Eddy did and also the work that Max Kapler has done on scientific obstetrics, because without scientific obstetrics, we maybe wouldn't have the clue to being open enough to give birth to this law within ourselves and to the divine idea within ourselves. So, as an elucidation of this law of interdependence and working with it, as many of you know, for at least a year and a half, maybe more, in very, very quiet, searching, pondering, loving sessions, a method of working with the law unfolded to me. It's a method that utilizes scientific obstetrics, in that at each position of the law, a deep question. I have the pages that you can read it right with me if you like. But at each position in the law, a penetrating spiritual question can be presented to consciousness. And the answer to this question must come from the depth of your being. I have here that it must not be a quick intellectual reply. Therefore, when you pose the question to yourself, be still, really, really still, and willing to penetrate through the layers of your own being until you arrive at an honest response. And let me tell you, that is harder to do than you think. Because you've got layers and layers and layers and layers of if, ands, buts, nors, fors, oh yes, really, nos. I mean, sometimes we're too easy on ourselves and other times we're too hard on ourselves. So you never know what it is at that point. So honestly, please believe me, you have to be very, very, very still. But in that stillness, ask yourself that question. And then be willing to be quiet until the answer bubbles up. It may not bubble up right away, and it may bubble up right away. You may have hints to it throughout the day as you go through your other activities, but just posing that question to consciousness and sincerely wanting the answer will help it come to the surface. And then I have here that you have to be willing to face the apparent imperfection without excuse or judgment. That is so incredibly important. Okay? Yes.
I'm sorry, but would you just give me a for instance, when you say a penetrating spiritual question is presented to consciousness? Mm-hmm. I am not quite sure what standpoint you're
The penetrating spiritual question that we're going to pose to consciousness has to do with the place value within the law. In other words, if a question is truly a spiritual question, then it has come forth from law itself. And so really, in a sense, you're jumping ahead. What I'm going to do is show you how the chapter of prayer is a 7x7 series of deep penetrating questions that can be posed to consciousness.
You have not yet presented those questions.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's
yeah. Right. No. For the microphone here, I'm going to repeat the fact that that I have not yet posed the questions. No, I'm just elucidating the fact that one can pose that kind of a question, but really it came off the fact that the law itself is posing the question.
Okay.